The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
This is the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21, Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Good morning. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with Pat Devaney, my husband and fellow realtor.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
How are you?
Very good.
I'm excellent. Thank you for asking. We are with Bob Venice, the water medic, water consultant. How are you today?
Good, Jackie. How are you?
Thanks for coming back with us. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. where we discuss everything real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been guiding, assisting, and advising clients in real estate matters for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724. And when you're at jruddy.com, click on the Dunmore Corners live webcam tab and click on that and see what's going on at Dunmore Corners.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, which is mobile friendly. Also, you can listen to archived radio shows. Much information there. Many years. How many years, Pat?
Oh, we got to have 5 years already?
It's this month. 5 years
oh,
is our
goodness.
Radio anniversary. How about that? Doesn't feel possible, does it?
No.
Okay, Bob Venice, the water medic, water consultants. How long have you been doing what you do?
Well, I have been doing what I have been doing since 1997.
You know everything there is about water, right?
Well, I know a lot.
A lot,
but I don't know everything. There's always something you can learn.
But you've been in most recently enjoying some retirement, and you retired and you sold the business too?
To my two sons, Rob and John. They're doing a great job. They learned a lot in the last 5 or 6 years working for me, and they
took over, but you're there as a consultant.
I help them if they get themselves in an area where they don't feel they're comfortable.
You get the phone call.
I get the phone call.
All right. Well, last week we spent our discussion on public water systems and chlorine in the water and the dangers of the chlorine and the chemicals that they put in the water in the public systems. And this week I thought we would focus on well water. What do we have to think about when there are wells?
Well, please. Wells consist of each area that you're in is different, so you really don't know. You have contaminants from iron, manganese, sulfur, acidic problems, parasitic problems. You can run into a multitude of problems with wells. And one of the most common ones that people know right away is sulfur. They smell it. It smells like rotten eggs. And, all of the well water problems can be solved. There isn't a well water problem that can't be solved. In fact, anything that you put in water can be taken out. One of the hardest things to take out of water is sodium chloride. They have, on a lot of the islands down south, they use what they call desalinization plants, where they actually use membrane technology, which is nano-micro filtration, which, filters at below 10,000th of a micron, which a micron is about the size of the needle, the point on a needle. So if you can imagine 10,000 times below that, it's ultrafiltration. So, anything that's in the water can be taken out. On well water, the most common thing we find around here is iron and sulfur and hard water. They're the three things. And the hardness can range. I've had wells around here that range up to 50 grains per gallon, which is so hard that you'd probably need a helmet when you shower. Pretty bad. So you basically test the water and find out what you have. And, when people buy a new home, what they normally do is they have an inspection done. And when they have that inspection done, it would behoove them to make sure they have a very thorough water test.
Well, they don't know. usually they don't know. And there's usually, there's a 3-day test and then there's a 7-day test. And so they're just really deferring to the home inspector to be doing the test that they should be doing. So, but I find that the buyer's knowledge is limited, especially if they're coming from a different type of system, like a public system.
Right. And the problem becomes the cost. I mean, let's face it, some of these water tests that you can do can be $400, $500. I mean, it's expensive. If, you know, depending, you know, I've had people say to me, I want to test for everything. Okay, it's going to cost you $2,800. They jump back. What do you mean?
Sticker shock, right.
Yeah, well, you wanted to test for everything, right? So we're going to go right down the periodic table, and we're going to test for every chemical they have.
But what,
gold. Now, you think there's gold in your water?
Okay.
You
know?
But we'll test for it.
And how long would that test take?
That test takes about 14 to 15 days.
There you go. But see, most inspections have to be done within 14, 15 days with the report conducted and finished.
Most homeowners don't really need to go that thorough.
Okay. So what should a buyer be inspecting?
What I would say a normal well buyer should first of all be looking at bacteria.
Right.
Both types, fecal and coliform. Okay. And total coliform. In several years ago, the rules changed on water, well water. They had, I'm going to say, I don't know, it had to be 19, probably 90 or so, or maybe 95. They used to be able to allow 10 parts of coliform bacteria, and the water was still potable, according to the DEP in the state of Pennsylvania. Then they lowered it to zero. When they lowered it to zero, that really made a spike in the bacteria tests that failed. And a lot of people were required after that, if they sold their home, and it was a finance thing, it had to have a bacteria test, they ended up having to put in an ultraviolet light. Now, an ultraviolet light is a great way to kill your microbiological things, all your parasites and stuff like that. It's relatively harmless. You don't see it. It's hooked on the water system where the water comes into the house after the well tank. And what it does is eradicates all your bacteria. But most people should definitely have a bacteria test. They should definitely have an iron test. They should definitely have a pH test. And they should have a hardness test. And I would recommend a lead test. And the reason I recommend a lead test is because if the water is acidic, they will end up with lead, because on the bottom of the well tanks, what we call the pressure tank in the house, it's a blue tank that's in most people's houses that have wells. That tank on the bottom of it has a bronze valve, a T. It comes off the bottom of the tank. It has a place to screw a hose on, and it goes two ways. One comes into the well, one goes to the house. And that pressure tank keeps the pressure in your house. And that bronze, if the water's acidic, bronze is made of copper and lead. So therefore, they get lead in their water through that bronze valve. That not recently, but several years ago happened up in Mountaintop, where all the DEP was up there, and all these homes had lead, and they found out that it really wasn't lead. Actually, I found out because I went up at the DEP's request and tested some houses with Baker, and they said it's lead in the water, and they were taking blood tests and everything. It was quite a fiasco, and basically it ended up just being that T, because all the water up there was acidic, meaning low pH. The pH scale basically runs from 7, from 0 to 14, 7 being neutral. So if your water is 7, 7.1, 7.2, it's excellent. If it's 6, 5, 5.5, you have a real bad acid problem. And the acid problem eats copper pipes, ruins hot water heaters, the industry in many aspects has changed over to plastic pipes, PEX, to prevent that
deterioration,
failure.
Right.
But they're still drinking what you call acidic water. And I think it's been proven that acidic water is not healthy for you. alkaline water is healthy for you, which means pH of 7 or above. So the way they can neutralize it, we have methods that we use, what they call chemical feed injection. And what we do is we hook up a peristolic pump, a solution tank, and we pump in a mixture of caustic or sodium bicarbonate, which is commonly referred to as baking soda. And we bring the pH up to the proper level and we lock the pump. Your well pump is a constant. This one is a variable. So once we get that variable set to 7.2, we lock it, and then your water's from that point on is, alkaline, which is good.
So most people that are selling a house that is on a well usually haven't had a water test, a well test, in some time.
A lot of them don't. Some of them get a water test. People that are pretty conscientious get a water test once a year.
Yes, if they're conscientious, or if there's a community well, because that community well usually has to
abide by the rules.
Right. But, typical homeowners, most do not. Now, whether you're buying or selling a home, how often should a well be tested, the water on the well?
If you have no treatment on a well, there's a couple things you need to pay attention to, okay? One, if everybody in the house gets the stomach flu all at the same time, I would recommend getting your water tested at that point in time. If everyone gets diarrhea in the house, I again would recommend getting your water tested at that time. However, if none of those circumstances are there, I would recommend once a year get a basic microbiological water test. $40, $50, $30 if you take it to the lab yourself, probably. But there's a special bottle that you have to take. You have to run the water for 5 minutes, get a clear, good sample. Don't touch it against your faucet so you got contamination off the faucet. And then take it to a lab. You have to keep it chilled in a cooler so that it doesn't, there's certain requirements. And if you do it and it comes out negative, drink your water. If you don't smell it, if it smells sulfur, you can still drink it, but I don't like the taste of it.
So do you recommend that most people on a well should have a UV light as a basic requirement of their system?
I would highly recommend that because, you never know what can happen. Water, when a lot of people think, I have a well, wells are safe.
Right.
It's a misnomer. It's totally untrue. What wells consist of is underground rivers, okay? It's not just a pool of water underneath your house, your own private pool. It might be coming from 5 miles up the road and 10 miles the other way. You don't know. A lot of times when people drill a well, they change your water. You could be a half a mile away and drill a well and change your water. You didn't have sulfur, now you got sulfur. Somebody a half a mile away drilled a well and got you sulfur. I've had people that wanted me to go to court with them because somebody changed their water. You don't own the underground rivers. You can't do anything about it,
How deep is a typical well?
It depends on the water table, but I've seen them range in this area, normally 100 to 250 feet, but I've seen them go down 900 feet too.
Oh my God.
But what normally when they put a well in, what they do is they drill, and once they hit water, they case it. And they case it down till they get to bedrock. They push that casing down till they get to bedrock. And once that's in bedrock, that kind of seals it. And then they run the tube down, they put the pump, they drop the pump and the tube and the electrics to run the pump, and they bring it back up and hook it to your well tank. They run some pipe from the well casing. There's an apparatus that hooks on the well casing, and they run the pipe into the well tank. And then the well tank basically has a pressure switch that it's either 2040 or 3060, depending on what type of switch it is. And what it does is that volumetric tank, that blue tank, holds water in there and presses it out till it hits the low pressure point, and then it kicks the pump on and it fills it back up again. And it just keeps doing that automatically. You don't see it, but you might notice a little bit of difference in the pressure when it's on the 20 versus the 40. But, you know, it keeps your well running. One of the things that people should really do on a well, they should always check that tank to make sure that it's operating properly. And the way that you do that is you shut your breaker off. That's the electrical breaker that controls that. You shut that off, and then you open a faucet. And if it runs fulfilled, you know, for maybe 3 or 5 minutes, it runs, that's your well tank is good. If it just runs and fills up a teapot, your bladder tank is bad. And when that well tank or that bladder tank is bad, what happens is your well pump kicks on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off, and it'll burn out your well pump. So everybody on a well should check that at least once a year. If they don't, or if they notice their electric bill goes high all of a sudden, they should check that, because that's an area. Another thing they should do is when they shut the well pump off, they should watch the pressure gauge that's on there. If that pressure gauge goes down after the well pump, that means they either have a leak in their line or their foot valve on the pump is bad. So they should, you know, when you're on a well, you should do a little paying attention, because you can end up not knowing that you have a problem and causing other problems.
Good advice. Bob Vaness, water consultant with the Water Medic. How does someone get in touch with you, please?
You can call us at toll-free 888-442-0349, or you can call us at 570-586-4436. Our website is thewatermedic.net, or you can email us something on our email at waterfixer@aol.com.
Thank you, Bob. Pat?
Yes, we have a two-bedroom home at 52 West Grove Street in Nanticoke City for only $54,000. This home is in need of updating, but it is in good condition. It has a new roof and a new furnace. It has beautiful hardwood floors, a large detached one-car garage, and off-street parking. It also has a nice fenced-in yard. There is really so much potential in this home. That's a two-bedroom home with a large one-car garage at 52 West Grove Street in Nanticoke City for only $54,000, and that is listed by Dan Taylor of our office.
Thank you, Pat. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break.
Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate asks, what does your dream sound like?
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah.
We can take that wall out, extend this room.
No, honey. We're not knocking any walls down.
Mommy, can we turn this into a basketball court?
No, sweetie. It's a dining room. We're going to put a table in here and eat our meals.
My bedroom is huge.
Oh, you already have your bedroom picked out, huh?
This place is great.
I love it.
Whether you're searching for your family's new home or selling and moving on to the next exciting chapter in your life's journey, the award-winning professionals at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate are here to help you realize your dream. Get in touch at jruddy.com. That's JRUDDY.com. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Reddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Reddy, and with my husband, fellow realtor Pat Devaney.
I'm still here.
You're still here. How are you?
Very good.
We're here with Bob Vaness, water consultant with the Water Medic. How are you?
Good, Jackie. How are you?
Great. We've been talking about well water and some of the things that are found in well water. And, you know, many people, unless the lender requires a test, sometimes some people it's overlooked. Sometimes people want to save money when they're buying a home. They're not always testing things. And at the bare minimum, somebody, a homeowner, should be looking to test their well water at least once a year. That's your recommendation.
Yes.
And also have a UV light.
I would highly recommend a UV light on all wells. I mean, that's just like the public systems use chlorine to kill bacteria. The well water uses ultraviolet light sterilization. Same type of deal, just to ensure you're microbiologically, you know, safe.
Safe. Okay, so let's stay on well water and the many other contaminants that we have to think about.
Okay, well, one of the contaminants that everybody knows is sulfur. And sulfur basically is a nuisance type of contaminant. What it is, sulfur is a gas. So what it does is, if you took sulfur water and put it in a refrigerator and let it sit overnight in an open container, the sulfur would bubble to the top and you would lose most of it, okay? So in treating sulfur, basically there's four or five methods that you could use to treat sulfur. They have what they call a pellet dropper, which drops chlorine pellets into the well. And then as the water comes back into the house, they have what they call an activated carbon filter, which takes the chlorine back out, also polishes the taste of the water. Another method would be what they call aeration. They have what they call an aeration tank, which would take methane or any of your gases out. And what it is, it's a tank that has spray bars on it and an exhaust fan. And it's a self-contained apparatus that has a pump in it and another pressure tank. So basically what happens is your water gets sprayed, atomized into the tank, and the gases get exhausted out. The water gets put back into that big tank and gets pumped out to your house normally. That's another method. Another method is there are systems out today that use a mini air chamber inside the tank. And they use activated carbon, and that takes out sulfur very well. And it's a lot smaller than the first two units. And the other way is they have what they call a chemical called potassium permanganate. And that chemical takes out iron and sulfur, does both. But it's, it's a pretty nasty chemical. When it doesn't wash out all the way, you have purple water.
Jesus.
So the old method, though, it does work. And if it works properly, the problem is it requires about 5 to 6 gallons per minute to backwash. And most wells are 2 to 4 gallon. Some of them are 5 gallon. But, depending on how often it backwashes, it bridges sometimes and doesn't backwash out all the way. Or if the power goes out on some of the older units, they don't completely backwash, and then you have purple water. And it's a dangerous chemical. I really don't like using it. I'm more for the chemical-free way to do it if I can.
And the easiest way to tell if you have sulfur in your water is the odor?
The odor. It also, if you look in the back of the toilet, you'll get a black slime on the toilet, and that's a combination of sulfur and sulfur bacteria. Now, sulfur bacteria is not harmful to humans. It's
just unpleasant.
It's unpleasant, right.
Very.
It requires cleaning, a lot of cleaning, The other contaminants that you have in a well are iron. And there's a couple different types of iron. Now, the way you can recognize if you have iron, and a lot of people think it's hard water for some reason, but it's really not. Hard water does not leave any dark stains. Hard water leaves white stains. Iron leaves brown stains, or sometimes a grayish brown stain. But iron can be removed from water very simply by oxidation. And you can oxidize it in several manners. You can use chlorine to oxidize it and then take the chlorine back out. You can use potassium permanganate to oxidize it, the one that I don't use. You can use hydrogen peroxide to oxidize it in lieu of chlorine, the same type of system. You can use a media called berm, which in itself takes care of that. You can also oxidize it with my way, the favorite way, air. You can oxidize it with air. And for anybody out there that has iron, they would see it pretty simply if they just left their toilet seat up and they looked in the toilet bowl and they just had fresh water in there. And after a day, it would be getting brown on the bottom. And they brush it away, but that's iron. And that's an easy fix. And you don't have to do it chemically. Another contaminant that we find here locally is called manganese. And manganese is, like iron, can be oxidized in several different manners. It's a black, sticky type of and you really notice it in the hot water heaters. If you open the bottom of your hot water heater, you get these chunks, little chunks of black. It looks like large sand, and they come out. And that's manganese. And manganese is bad. And when people that have manganese, they really know it. I mean, it's pretty nasty. The other contaminant that we run into a lot locally is a low pH. And that, again, is acidic water. And that can be solved in one way is chemical feed, you know, sodium bicarbonate or some caustic to bring the pH up. And, you know, the Water Quality Institute indicates and the government that the water should be, you know, 7.0 is where you want it or above. Not really above, but, you know, between 6.8 and 7.2 is good water. You know, it's not, if it's 6.8, it's not acidic enough that it's going to do any damage. But if you get down into the pH scale, and I told you before, is from 0 to 14, 7 being neutral, but it's also logarithmic. So 6 isn't one time below 7, it's 10 times, and 5 is 100 times below. So you can see it, you know, you go down on the scale, and some in the Poconos, I've tested some of the water at 5.5, and battery acid's 4.2 or something. So
not good.
Not good. No. Not good. So, you know, those are the four major contaminants that we find around here, in addition, hard water. Now, hard water in itself is very costly to the homeowner, and most wells around here are hard. You know, I don't care where you go. The only way in the Poconos, because the water is acidic, it's not hard, which is, you know, a little bit different. Sometimes it is, but 90% of the time when I go into the Poconos and test water, they have iron and low pH, but the water is around 30 to 40 TDS, which is equivalent to spring water. So if they bring the pH up and use it using sodium bicarbonate, they don't add any TDS to the water. They don't add any total dissolved solids. If they use calcite, which is purified limestone, that's the other way to bring up the pH. If they do that, then they harden the water also. So there's two methods to bring up the pH. One is with calcite, which is a purified limestone, and the other is to chemically inject sodium bicarbonate or caustic. That way you don't bring up the hardness. With the calcite, you bring up the hardness. So you might get the pH to be up at 7 or 7.2, but now instead of having 30 TDS, you have 110 TDS. You've added a lot of total dissolved solids to the water, which means it's hard water. So now you need a water softener.
And you take care of all of this. It seems like it's a delicate balance, but you know what to do and how to do it. Yeah. The Water Medic, you are a consultant to the family business.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing this?
Since 1997, I've been personally doing it. But I was involved in the water treatment business for much longer because I worked for a sodium chloride company called AkzoNobel.
Uh-huh.
And when I worked for them, I dealt with all the water conditioning companies. Culligan, Rainsoft, all of them. We dealt with all of Myonix, Puronix, you know, all the water conditioning companies. So we learned a lot. I learned a lot in that business about the water treatment. And then, you know, when I got out of that business, I started my own water treatment company and learned a lot more. Going to the Water Quality Institute meetings and stuff like that, you know, learning and reading the residential water processing books and stuff like that. It's a field that it's very near and dear to everybody's heart because everybody uses water. In fact, 70% of your body is made up of water.
And we're encouraged to drink water, 8 glasses a day. And you know, it's very important. Well, we enjoyed our discussion with you today and last week. You're fascinating to listen to, and you have a lot of knowledge, and we love that you came here with us. Bob Venness, water consultant with the Water Medic. Contact information before we go, please.
Yeah, you can contact us on our website at thewatermedic.net, or you can call us at 570-586-4436 or toll free at 888-442-0349, and that is 1-888-4-H2O-FIX.
Thank you, Bob. Pat?
Yes, we have an updated 3-bedroom, 2-bath home at 807 Troop Street in Dunmore for only $87,000. This home has a newer kitchen and baths. It has beautiful large windows, a large rear deck overlooking a nice yard, and it also has off-street parking.
That's a great home at a great price, a three-bedroom, two-bath updated home at 807 Troop Street in Dunmore for only $87,000. And that's listed by Jason Thomas of our office.
Remember to join us next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.